right. Well, that music tells us that it is time to reflect on the Psalms. Particularly love this segment of the show. And today, if you got your Bibles out, we're looking at Psalm 52. Psalm 52. Again, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, composed by the, or prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And this particular revision is one that's approved to use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So it's more, as updated editions of the Roman Missal come out, then this version of the Psalm is going to be incorporated into the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so very interesting prescript for this psalm. So the first and the second verse of the psalm is a prescript. And this was interesting about this is it's following the trek of David in his escape from Saul. So, you know, in 1 Samuel, you know, Saul becomes jealous of David because the songs that are being sung, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. He becomes jealous and tries to pursue David in order to take his life. And so this prescript says, for the choir master, again, so David wrote this psalm and then handed it off to the choir master. Oh, by the way, this is in book 2 of the Psalms, so 42 to 72. And then David wrote Psalms 51 to 72 in this section. And so for the choir master, a maskil of David. Again, maskil today means enlightenment, but we don't know what that word meant at the time of David. A maskil of David, after Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has gone to the house of Abimelech. All right, so David's trying to escape persecution by Saul. He's trying to stay one step ahead of him. And then Doeg the Edomite, who works for Saul, saw David and said, hey, and he goes back and tells Saul, hey, say, you want to try and find David? I know exactly where he is. He's with Abimelech. And so during this time of trial is when David wrote this song. So it starts in verse 3. Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long? Your tongue is like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You know, so again, he said, Doeg, man, what you doing? You know, I'm trying to escape from Saul. I'm trying to escape persecution. And what are you doing? You're giving him intel on how he can find me. You know, so but we can apply this kind of harsh rebuke of David today. Those who are speaking out against the culture of life, who are supporting abortion and euthanasia and assisted suicide and fetal stem cell research and all these different things, you know, and they're boasting about, they're bragging about it. Even people who are Catholics are boasting and bragging about the redefinition of marriage and gender, and they're celebrating this, you know. And again, this is what comes to my mind when I'm praying this song. You're boasting of your wickedness, you champion of evil. Your tongue like a sharpened razor, you who practice deceit. You know, all these people call themselves people of faith, but are as far away from authentic expression of faith. You know, what they've done is they become chameleons. They've adapted the so-called quote-unquote faith of the culture. You know, the culture turns green, they turn green. The culture turns brown, they turn brown. You know, they're fakes. You know, they're not authentic. And then he goes on in verse 5 and 6. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than truth. You love every destructive word, O tongue of deceit. So David comes out swinging here. But, I mean, again, expressing the frustration of him trying. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's trying to do the right thing, escaping persecution. And the people that are helping Saul, you know, he's giving them kind of rebuking them.
Yeah, well, and it's also a reminder that we oftentimes aren't necessarily doing anything wrong, but we've become numb to the things that should bother us, and the things, whether that's in our own lives or the things happening around us. Well, what can I do? That, you know, doesn't bother me. Let them do what they want. Like, it's that numbness that oftentimes separates us from the causes.
Right. And it's exactly, you know, that reminds me of that song, Comfortably Numb.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, by Pink Floyd, you know. And that's it. We become inoculated, you know, comfortably numb. You know, so you give, what do? They give you an injection so you're numbed up so you don't feel the pain.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what's happening in our culture today. But then, so he starts off with some strong rebukes. Then he says in verse 7, then God will break you down forever, and he will take you away. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. So now he starts off rebuking, and now he's kind of giving them a warning. Hey, look, if you keep this kind of behavior up, there's going to be consequences for this, because God is a God of justice. So sometimes, you know, we get angry and frustrated when we look around in the culture and we see not only is a culture, obviously the culture is going to do what the culture is going to do, but when we see people of faith, or, you know, they call themselves people of faith, acting just like the culture, mimicking just like the culture. I mean, we're called by God to be countercultural, to not think and act like everybody else around us. You know, we're called to follow Christ, you know, first and foremost, not the culture. And what does Jesus say? You know, people who do that, they've already received their reward. All the praise, all the accolades, all the affirmation that they receive from the culture, that's their reward. Because if they think they're going to heaven, they need to think again. You know, Jesus says the way to heaven is narrow and very few will find it. But everybody thinks they're going. That's not how this works. And so David here is not only admonishing, but now he's giving a warning. And he continues in verse 8. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, so this is the champion who refused to take God as a stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by wickedness. See, so the people that are just will have their day. Yes, those of us that see this going on, you know, when people are especially people calling themselves Catholics are promoting the redefinition of marriage and gender and all these other abominations in our culture today. And sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get frustrated because there doesn't seem to be anything. God doesn't seem to be doing anything about this, you know, or we see human trafficking and just horrific crimes against children. You know, God, why aren't you doing anything? But David reminds us here. You know, God will have his day. You know, these people, this is not going to continue on forever. He goes, and those who are just, we will see what God will do. And we fear, not just that, but honor, reverence, and respect of what the Lord is doing. And so we'll say, look, see, this is what happens when you refuse to take God as your stronghold. This is what happens when you live according to your own wickedness and don't follow the ways of the Lord. This is what happens when you pay lip service to your faith, but don't really live your faith with passion and conviction. And then it goes in verse 10. But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I love that. So you see what David's doing here. He starts off with a strong rebuke, with strong admonishment. Then he gives the warning. Then he says, okay, those of us who are doing right by God, we will see the justice of God. Maybe not now on earth, but maybe have to wait till the second coming. But we will see the justice of God. So we should not fear. We should not get angry, as we talked about yesterday, right? Fill ourselves, be frustrated. Because God, as I told the folks last night at Our Lady of Guadalupe, God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. But David said, I'm like the grove olive tree. Of course, we see that the beautiful image of the olive tree. Olives are, and still are, a very important part of life in the Middle East. You know, that's where you get the rich and deep and beautiful olive oil comes from the Holy Land there. So we got that beautiful image of the olive tree sprouting and growing and producing fruit. Those of us who stay in God's love, we are going to be the ones that are going to produce the good fruit, the oil of salvation, you know, in the house of God. And I trust in the mercy of God. See, we trust in God's merciful love forever and ever. So no matter what's going on around us, things that are frustrating us, things that are angry, we have to trust in God's merciful love forever and ever. And then finally, verse 11, I will thank you forevermore. Oh, now see, now his heart's turning. His heart's turning now back to God. I will thank you forevermore, for this is your doing. And I will thank you, right? What do you call giving thanks? In the Greek, eucharistein, right? Means thanksgiving. So in the sense, you can say, I will give Eucharist to you forevermore. I will make an offering of my life to you, Lord, because you offered your life for me on the cross. I'm going to make my life an offering back to you. I will hope in your name, for it is good, right? We want to seek what is true and good and beautiful. And where do we seek that hope? In the name of the Lord. Just like David, when he was fighting Goliath, he said, you come to me with sword and javelin and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of armies, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. And we said at every Mass, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because the Lord's name is good. The Lord's name is true. The name of the Lord is beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. I will hope in your name, for it is good, in the presence of your faithful. So we have to witness to the power and the glory of God's name and God's love working in our lives in the presence of the faithful. We cannot keep the faith to ourselves. We have to share and witness the beauty of God's love working in our lives.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.